Hillel, this is Martin Rosendale, CEO of the Maryland Technology Council, a partner with Newport, and host of the Capital M podcast. Today we're at the first annual Bioinnovation Conference sponsored by Maryland Life Sciences, where we're speaking with a number of entrepreneurs, innovators, and experts on the capital markets. This is Marty Rosendale, and we're at the Bioinnovation Conference sponsored by the Maryland Technology Council. I'm here with Anika Wayman. Dr. Wayman is an associate dean at UMBC. Dr. Wayman, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks. So glad to be here.
Could you take just a minute, Anika, and explain to us what you do at the university, the students that you work with, you know, kind of give us a sense of the work that's being done, but also I'm curious about why do you do it?
Well, thank you for having me again. I am very excited because UMBC is at a stage of really trying to expand in Montgomery County. And I am overseeing the applied biotech programs that are now located at the universities at Shady Grove. The undergraduate applied biotechnology program is a Bachelor of Science in Translational Life Science Technology. Mm-hmm. And I know that's a mouthful there, but basically it's in the space of translational science, which is looking at how these cool scientific discoveries actually become a commercialized product. And it's a brand new degree for UMBC. From what we know, it's the first in the nation of a translational science program on the undergraduate level that we just fully launched this fall. And with it, we are trying to educate students to be prepared for the jobs that are in biotech today. They're more complex products that they're trying to develop. They need someone who has that hands-on training, and that's what we're trying to bring, an innovative curriculum that's really responsive to the workforce needs of biotech companies today. And I'd love to go more into that later. But just for my quick introduction, I'll also say that I oversee the graduate program, which is a professional master's, and that's also now been moved, although it's been around for quite a while, we've moved it down here to Rockville to be closer to the large number of biotech companies that are here and to pair it with our undergraduate program. And again, it's to really work closer with Montgomery County as UMBC to really be here to serve the workforce needs of the industry.
Sure. So I recently got a chance to tour the new building at USG. Is this going to be housed in that new building?
It is. So we will have three labs dedicated to our program in that new building.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. I just found that tour so fascinating. In fact, when I left, I told Stu, I said, I want to go back to college.
Right.
I was so impressed by the technology that was in that space. It was amazing.
Very state-of-the-art equipment in there. And we hope that it'll be a epicenter to work with the biotech companies in the area, you know, where they could come in and bring maybe projects that aren't confidential to come in for students to work on. Maybe those would be the projects we would actually do in our labs, mm-hmm. Instead of something just, you know, in a book. That's right. Something that's real world. Also having, you know, companies come in and use the space if they need for other experimental needs that they might have, and working with students. I also like the interdisciplinary nature of that building. So yeah. When you ask what excites me about what I'm doing, I've always been excited about the possibility of science to help save lives.
Right.
And so I've always chased jobs that are in that space. And I also love interdisciplinary science. Mm-hmm. And this program really brings that out. I think the building's going to, with all the universities in there and the different disciplines, it'll be an opportunity to, they have a maker space and virtual reality space. So there'll be a lot of exciting opportunities to do projects even outside of our curriculum.
Yeah, I was also impressed by the fact that they had multiple disciplines in there. Engineering, computer technology, biotechnology, life sciences, the dental school, right, yeah, very impressive. So UMBC is one of nine universities that make up the universities at Shady Grove, right? And could you explain to us a little bit that relationship? Because I think it's unique, right? I don't know where else in the country there is something like this.
It is unique, and one that I didn't know much about until I started applying for this job. But it is an opportunity for students to not have to leave Montgomery County and get a bachelor's degree. So there's no other four-year institution here. So students would typically start at Montgomery College. So it's a way to expand to students who may not otherwise be able to go elsewhere, or for their choice, wanting to stay within the counties. They could start at Montgomery College and then come to universities at Shady Grove, where they have the choice of nine universities with a multitude of programs that they can pursue their bachelor's degree and not have to leave the county.
And do you find, are the students more often younger students and they're working their way up for, to get a bachelor's degree, an undergraduate degree, and then go into the workforce? Or are they more students that have been in the workforce and are coming back to do something different?
It is a slightly older, you have a wider range. And so the average age of students at the Universities of Shady Grove is about 26. Mm-hmm. And about 70% of them come from Montgomery College and transfer there. So there are students as well in other spaces. We have some from Frederick Community College, but you do typically have the older student. We have the graduate programs there as well. So Right. You do have a lot of students who are working, whether it's in their profession they're trying to pursue a degree in, or even outside of that, working while they're going to school and are a little bit older in age.
Anika, in your role and the faculty at the university, do you interact with industry?
I do.
What does that interaction look like?
So right now, as we're building the program, it's making the connections. We are fairly new, and this program, as mentioned, the undergraduate level is new. And so it's meeting the companies right now. But we've already had some pretty substantial collaborations with some companies. We have a couple students who are already working at companies like Lonza. We have some who are doing internships at the Bioengineering Research Education Program. We had a really exciting panel of private sector experts come in to a class that I'm teaching that's an introduction to translational science, where we had Jeff Galvin from American Gene Technologies. We had Joe Sanchez from AstraZeneca, Sean Hoffer, who is the Chief Scientific Officer at GeneDx, as well as Westad and others that came in to talk about the biotech industry, and the students are really excited. So having companies come in to be guest speakers, having adjunct faculty teach our class. So our statistics class is taught by someone from Fina Biosolutions. So as much as we can have that happen as well. And as part of our curriculum, we have a required internship that students have to pursue. Right. And so down the line, as we get to the second year of this program, we'll then be partnering a lot more with industry as we're looking to place our students in internship opportunities for the curriculum, and then of course full-time employment. Also looking to industry to give us feedback. We want to make sure our curriculum stays current with what they need. Mm-hmm. And so after we get into this a few years, we'll really be looking for companies to give us feedback. And if they have feedback now, it's highly welcomed in terms of, are there any classes that are missing, or how we might teach that class in a more applied way? As I mentioned, lab projects that we might be able to bring into our classes. So our program, the way I see it, is highly dependent on industry input and collaboration. That's what's going to make it successful.
Today, we did a podcast. We talked with Chris McDonald from Kite Pharma. And you heard Secretary Schultz this morning talk about the number of job openings there are and the rapidly growing biomanufacturing industry here in Maryland. So we're already seeing a gap in workforce. We're seeing a lot of openings, and I know some of our members are complaining about stealing employees from one another already. But as I see plants like the Kite Pharma plant being built, and growth at Emergent Biosolutions and Lonza and Catalent buying Paragon, and the growth that they're planning there, I see the potential for a workforce crisis looming. How much of the solution to that problem do you think you and UMBC and USG can be? And I assume, you know, Chris would tell you that we need to bring a coalition together to address it. What does that coalition look like, do you think, and how do we make it happen?
So one of the things that I was very interested in here at the BioInnovations Conference was the session on workforce development. Mm-hmm. And in that, there was a discussion around how do we address this in the short term, which looks different than how we address it in the long term in a more sustainable way. And that was also where I saw the need for a coalition that would include academia, industry, folks like Maryland Tech Council to come together and really look strategically at how we can do this. Some of the points that were brought up in that discussion, I think, first and foremost, starts with exposure and really helping students to understand biotechnology, the biotech industry, as an impactful career path. Too many students still think that it's you know, I either go and do research or I'm going to go become a doctor or a dentist mm-hmm. if I'm interested in science. And those are the two paths that they know of, and they don't realize that they can have a bigger impact in the biotech industry, because you're not just a doctor that's seeing maybe 30, 40 patients a day. You're now making the product that's going into hundreds of doctors' hands who are seeing 34 patients right. a day. So I think it's that exposure and letting students know that it's a viable career path, that it's not one that is sometimes looked at as, you know, a part of the problem, that it is actually a part of the solution in mm-hmm. trying to address healthcare issues. And that's something that I think the private sector and academia could work together to do, is to really, expose students to careers there, get them more interested, and then for us, our role is to make sure that our curriculum is really responsive and training students in the areas that they need. And so, again, in this session, talking about what are those areas we might need in 5 or 10 years students trained in. And, you know, data science is one, which is why in our program we have a bioinformatics component there, and want to start a bioinformatics concentration as well. Biomanufacturing, you mentioned. We also have classes in biomanufacturing. So students are getting those critical skills in addition to the cell biology, biochemistry, and your traditional classes.
When I think back on my career, I had a lot of good fortune. My father is a serial entrepreneur in plastics. I did an engineering apprenticeship very early on out of high school. Very interested in engineering and the problem-solving skills that taught me. But I had a high school teacher that got me turned on to microbiology. So when I got to college, I studied microbiology. So I had an engineering background and the microbiology as well. And that's taken me through a career path that I think has been unique. And I'm describing all that because I'm wondering, at what age do we need to get to these young people to expose them to these things so they can find their passion, what they can get really excited about, and how do we do that? So how do we first of all expose them, help them find what they're passionate about, and then help grow that?
I think it starts as early as we can, just exposing them to science and engineering. I'm an engineer by background myself, so definitely appreciate the combination of science and engineering. But I think beyond that, it's also just the multiple touch points that need to happen, and kind of having a more continuous thread in how we engage students. And I really think it's important that students are exposed to science in an applicable way. A lot of students, they want to have impact with their science or engineering, but they don't understand the opportunities out there to do that. So I think we really need to reach them in a way that really shows the real-world application mm-hmm. of the science that we're exposing them to, so they can really see themselves doing it. And I think we need to encourage all folks, because sometimes they may not see them in that position because they don't have perhaps the exposure or the lineage as you may have had to help them see themselves in that type of career. Because we, to your point, if we're going to be in a workforce crisis, we need people from all backgrounds, whether they've been exposed to science from parents and, you know, other relatives or not, to help really consider careers there. I think students are really looking for, how can I really make that impact? And mm-hmm. you know, it's more obvious, let's say, if it's in psychology or social work, where you're really they're more so seen as the people careers,
right?
But there's a lot of people impact that you have in biotechnology as well, and that's why I pursued it sure. as a career, is that I really had that chance to do that. And it's going to be more important that we really make sure the products we're making are considering the people issues mm-hmm. around them as well. How are people administering that product? You know, how is it impacting their livelihood or their day-to-day quality right. of life? These are people issues that are also involved as we're designing these biotechnologies. So showing students both sides, so that they know that I'm not just going to be at a bench pipetting all the time, that right. I'm actually going to be interacting with doctors and patients and really feeling that impact.
And I think as the industry becomes more focused on precision medicine and personalized medicine, we're going to see more of that. I personally believe that precision medicine is our best hope for lowering the cost of healthcare, and to see more young people come out of college and be interested in fields like that, I think would be amazing. We're a membership organization. We have 400 plus members. What can they be doing? They're the ones that need to hire the workforce. They're the ones that have the gap. What can they be doing? How can they work with you and the universities and others to help solve this problem?
I think it definitely starts with the exposure figuring out either collectively or individually how they can do as much outreach as possible in the ways that we just talked about in the schools. And a lot of your members are already stepping up to do that. Mm-hmm. So continuing to do that and maybe improving how we do that, mm-hmm. that outreach and exposure to students starting as young as possible and continuously in this. That would be a huge help. And then working with our programs to make sure that we're delivering the education that they need. Coming to be guest speakers in our classes is always welcomed. If you are interested in teaching, we're always looking for adjunct faculty. Giving tours to students to your companies and showing them actually how things work behind the scenes. And I think there's going to be more opportunities to engage students in mentorship opportunities. We already have students that are interested on the undergraduate side in starting a translational science club. So, I'm sure they would love to have interaction with industry in a more substantive way to work with them. So I'm never shy of any big ideas. So whatever companies dream up and whatever they think they might need academia to step in and help them with, I'm willing to entertain it. So, yeah. But I think it's really going to be that close collaboration that's going to be key in helping the whole ecosystem.
Yeah, that's fantastic. This morning during the opening remarks, I asked all the students in the room to raise their hand, and I was really surprised. I was impressed and pleased. I think I saw 40 or 50 hands go up. And so I think that's great.
Well, two of our students are here, and I was proud to say that they were actually standing in the front of the room, not the back of the room. But thanks to American Gene Technologies, they enabled these students to come to the conference, and they're really benefiting getting this exposure. And I think having students on a regular basis at conferences like these, so they can really see the interaction and see the current issues that are happening in biotech, is really important. I know they're getting a lot out of it. So thanks to American Gene Technologies for that support.
Yeah, fantastic. Dr. Wayman, is there anything that we haven't touched on that you would like our listeners and our members to know?
I'm just really excited about the opportunity that's before us as a biotech industry. We're seeing us move up in the ranks in terms of the rankings nationally, and I think that there's a lot of potential for us to be number three as we're aiming for. It's going to require a collaborative effort and a close collaborative effort until we can really understand what's the optimal way to work together. But I, in my short time in this position, I've seen a lot of willing partners, and I've been really happy with the response I've received around our translational science program and around the opportunity to work together. So I think it's Maryland Tech Council and other opportunities like these that bring academia, industry, government together. We've been working closely with the National Center for Advancing Translational Science, NCATS, at NIH. They've been a great partner as well. And so I'm really excited about the opportunity to grow this industry in a holistic way here in Maryland.
That's fantastic. I love the work that you're doing. I love the new facility. I'd go back to college if I knew I could go there. It's phenomenal.
It's really nice. Yeah.
And I love the way you're interacting with industry. I know that our members are interested in working more with you. I think more and more we're beginning to see the issues that we're going to have with respect to workforce if we don't do something about it. So thank you so much for the work that you're doing and your support.
Thank you.
And this is Martin Rosendale. I've been talking with Dr. Anika Wayman, who is the associate dean or an associate dean at UMBC, and focused very much on supporting workforce as well as students and getting more and more young people involved in STEM and biotech careers. Thank you so much for your time.